I hope you've had a great afternoon and looking forward to the rest of our time together to worship, to honor God, to love each other, care about each other. We want to again invite all of you to our lectureship at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to that, and we hope that you will take advantage of that. We're so delighted to have guests always in our audience from the community. If you're here from the community, thank you. We want you to come back. If you're here to visit with the lectureship this week, thank you for being here. Come back. Hoping that you and I will have a chance to do some great things for the Lord. The last two Sundays before this one, we had in our lobby out here the ministry fair. And the purpose of that was to stir people up and try to get people to be more involved, to see what we are doing here in an organized sort of way. We recognize that there are many people who do great things that are not a part of a specific program. But we have designed some programs that we want you to be a part of, those of you that are members here. And so we shared information. And I'm hoping that some of you decided, hey, I like that. I like that work. I want to be a part of that. And that if you have not signed up yet, that you will sign up and be a part of some work that's really, really very important that we want to make sure is accomplished. It's about a relationship with the Lord. It's about going deeper in Christ. It's about doing what we can to grow, going deeper and deeper into Christ. Did you listen to the words to that song? The transition is from that beginning relationship into a great relationship of joy. Deeper and deeper I go into the joy of Jesus. And that's the way life works when we are involved in the kingdom work that we have the opportunity to be involved in. But relationships are hard. Did you read the story about the policeman that was investigating an accident? And there was a husband and a wife and two children. And they had a pet monkey that was in the car with them when something occurred and they ran off the road. When the police got there, the only one in that group that was aware was the monkey. And so the policeman thought, well, I'll just see if the monkey knows anything. And so he said, what were the mother and father, what were the children doing? Excuse me. And the monkey went like they were fighting. And so the policeman saw that, and the policeman said, oh, the children were fighting. Mm-hmm. And so he said, well, what were the mom and dad doing? And the monkey started going, so they were arguing. And the monkey acknowledged that's true. And so the policeman assumed that the fighting of the children and the argument of the parents was the problem. And then he started to walk away, and he decided, well, you know, I will ask him what he was doing. So he turned to the monkey and said, what were you doing? And the monkey goes, relationships are not easy. They're just really hard. You can laugh about it. I can laugh about it. But relationships are hard. But there's nothing easy about a relationship with the Lord. It is a difficult task, and the Lord has not tried to smooth that over. The Lord has never tried to say, you come to me, and I'm going to make your life easy. I'm going to give you everything you want, everything you ask for in terms of pleasurable kinds of things. If you come to me, I'm going to keep you from having any illness. I'm going to keep you from having any relationship difficulties. I'm going to give you everything you want, everything you need. The Lord never said that. You see, Billy read from 1 John 2, and those verses teach us how easy it is to get into a relationship with the world because we have desire. Desire. All that is in the world, the lust, some translations say, some say desire. We desire things in the world that we don't have any business having. And John is telling us that relationship with the world is going to get us into trouble. And we start thinking about that relationship of being something really mean and ugly, but you know what? There are so many little things, laziness, a desire to be at home on Sunday afternoon or Monday night or any other opportunity that we have to do what would be bringing honor and glory to the Lord, falling in love with the world in that sort of way can be very, very serious. We look at all those bad, horrible, ugly, sinful people out there, and the world sneaks right into our life, and we don't do anything. We don't get involved. We don't try to go deeper. Jesus never said anything about how easy it was. In fact, here in this passage that's before you, Jesus is trying to let us know that if anyone, Roy Sharp, you just put your name in there, if anyone would come after me, the first step is self-denial. Deny himself and take up his cross. A cross is not just a neat little necklace that we can put on and have to make us look good. The cross is an instrument of death. Deny yourself, give your life over to Christ, and you begin doing what Christ would do and living as Christ would live. And so we take up our cross and we follow him. And then Jesus said, if you want to save your life, lose it. We like the saving part, but we don't care much about the losing part and the giving up part. And if we are going to do what God says, and we lose our life for his sake, Jesus said, you're going to find it. What an unthinkable blessing. And then he lets us know an important matter by asking a question. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? What do you think is important enough in your life that would keep you from going to heaven? There are so many things. And so I want you to think with me for just a few minutes. I want to share four Bible stories with you very briefly that will help us think about going deeper in Christ. When we start thinking about it, we're either going deeper or we're going to go back. It's not possible to stay the same. We're going to do one or the other. And so as we think here, think about the story of those people that Jesus sends out to do his will in Matthew chapter 10. One of the most powerful, gripping stories for me that I read in the New Testament. He selects these people to go out two by two, and then he just tells it like it is. When you go out, look at what's going to happen to you. Man, people are going to love you. People are going to give you everything you want. People are going to give you everything you need. You're going to be the most popular person around. If you're in school, you're going to be the most popular person in school. I'm going to give you all the ability in the world. You're going to have everything. Is that what Jesus tells these guys that are going out to do his will? No. You're going to be delivered up to councils. You're going to be scourged in the synagogue. The religious people are going to hate you. They aren't going to care about you because you're going to be telling them about the Christ, the Son of the living God, and humbling yourself before him and going deeper in him instead of just being religious. The government leaders are going to hate you. You're going to be brought up before governors and kings, and they aren't going to like you either, because they're going to think that you are bringing in another king. They're going to think that you're trying to subvert their authority and do things that would not be good. So you're going to be brought before governors and kings. And then Jesus said, you're going to be hated by all. And he said, wait a minute. I want you to like me. Tonight, I mean that. I want you, every one of you that can understand what I'm saying, I want you to like me. But Jesus is saying, when you do the will of God, those people out there, they're going to hate you. Jesus says, brother is going to deliver up brother. Father is going to deliver up children. Children are going to deliver up parents. And it's not just telling on somebody. They're going to be delivered up to death. Pretty serious stuff. And then Jesus said, do not fear the one who is able to destroy your body. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be scourged. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want any of those physical inflictions of pain upon me. I want things to be good. I want things to work out. But Jesus said, don't fear those people. In fact, three times in this passage in Matthew 10, Jesus said, don't fear. Do not be afraid. But if you're going to go deeper into Christ, you better fear the one who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. It seems to me Jesus is saying to you and me, as he was to those people, if you're going out on this mission, you're going to need to go deeper. If you don't want to go deeper, you'll go back. Second story is about a young man. We call him the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. In verses 16, it should be, verses 16 through 22, here's a very religious young man who comes to Jesus, and we read in the story, he's a commandment keeper. He knows what God's commands are, and he does them. When he asked which one, when Jesus said that he should keep the commandments, Jesus lists six of them. And the young man, I can see him smiling, saying, I've kept all of these from my youth up. What do I lack yet? Wow. You see, the initial question was, good teacher, what must I do? What good deed? It's not just about what must I believe. It's about what must I do? What good deed do I need to be involved in if I want to have eternal life? Jesus is very clearly saying to this young man, if you want eternal life, you're going to have to go a little bit deeper in Christ. You're going to have to do something different than you're doing now. If you would be perfect, you need to go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Notice the last part of that statement. Follow me. He didn't say follow me at first. He tells him what he needs to do in order to be a proper follower of Jesus as he comes asking this question about eternal life. And so this story of a very religious, commandment-keeping young man who, it appears to me, thought he was doing great, thought he was in the right place, he's doing the right thing. He just didn't look at what he needed to be doing. And Jesus said, you need to go deeper. And this is one of the sad stories of the Bible, because you see, this young man, the Bible clearly tells us, chose not to go deeper. He was okay to be religious. He was okay to keep the commandments. But when Jesus required of him this very strong statement that we have, he chose to go back instead of to go deeper. And we have many people in the world who are just like him. When they find out that it's a sacrifice to be who God wants you to be and what God wants you to be, they turn and go in the other direction, because going deeper is not easy. And then there's a story in Matthew chapter 20. Everybody that has children understands a proud mom and a proud dad. And here's a mom trying to intervene on behalf of two good boys. These are guys that have left all and followed Jesus. You would think they would get what they want. You would think they might even get what mom wants for them. But when she comes to Jesus, she wanted one of these boys to sit on his left hand and one on the right hand when he comes into his kingdom. Wow, what an ignorant question. The question wasn't so ignorant as the mom was. The mom had no idea what she was asking. I've taken several trips to Haiti, and I've had some moms and dads that would not let college students go to Haiti, because if you look in different places, you'll be warned not to travel to Haiti. It's a tough place. And moms and dads won't let their children go to Haiti sometimes. Do you think this mom, if she knew what these boys were going to go through, in order to follow Jesus, in order to go deeper into Jesus, that she would have been saying to the Lord, listen, here's what I want from you for my sons. I'm not sure. I don't know how strong her faith was. But I'm pretty confident she had no idea. And I'm pretty confident as we read the story of Jesus and his disciples, they didn't fully understand everything that was going to happen. And so Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? You see what Jesus was saying to this mom? These boys are going to have to go deeper or they'll go back. This is a great story. Because whether the rich young ruler turned and went away sorrowful because he had such great possessions, these guys had already given up all and followed Jesus, and they chose to go all the way. They did what God would want them to do. They went deeper. What a great, great example for us. And then perhaps the most touching story, if we're thinking clearly, it's the story of a suffering Savior. And just a little part of that story we read about in Matthew 26 in these two verses. No one of us can imagine the sorrow in the heart of Jesus. You see, it's so easy for me when I'm listening to Billy or anyone else preach. It's so easy for me for my mind to wander. In fact, as you've discovered, when I'm preaching sometimes, it's easy for my mind to wander. But are you really trying to think about what Jesus was thinking, what Jesus was about to endure? The physical suffering that he went through was unthinkable, even for that day. But that was the least of it. Bearing the sins of the entire world. Jesus said to his closest friends, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Can you picture that? Some of you have been in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you have a chance to get in your mind now what that place looked like. Can you imagine Jesus saying to his friends there, my soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Would you have liked to have been one of those close friends of Jesus? You see, Jesus is saying on the front end here of his major suffering that's about to occur, if you're going to stick with me, you're going to have to go a little deeper in your relationship with me. And these guys go to sleep. Jesus prays. These guys go to sleep. Would we be like the Pharisees in Matthew 23 when we would brag about if we'd have lived back there, we would have never mistreated those prophets? Are you thinking in your mind, if I'd have been there in the garden with Jesus, I'd have never gone to sleep? Sometimes we go to sleep. Sometimes it may be in a sermon. Sometimes it may be just in life. We go to sleep. Jesus prays. These guys go to sleep. And here's what Jesus prayed. Father, if it be possible. Everything's possible with God, isn't it? God can do anything, can't he? No. God can't do anything if the Bible is true. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You see, it would seem to me, here is a father's son saying, Dad, if there's some other way, let's do it some other way. But then he says to his father, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus is saying to his Father, I am ready to go deeper. And he did. It's unthinkable to read and super contemplate. I mean, don't turn it loose. Don't just think, I've read those passages before, but let them grip your mind. Let them grip your heart. And let your mind go back to that garden and think, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Without Christ in this setting and in His life, going deeper in His relationship with the Father, going deeper trying to develop a relationship with you and me, without that, none of us would, as we say, get out of this world alive spiritually. And so Jesus invites us to go deeper. I'm inviting the members of our congregation to go deeper in your relationship with the Lord by choosing to be more involved in the work of the Lord right here in this place, to grow this place, to grow the work, to be better. But there are probably some people in this room that need to go deeper in your relationship with the Lord by repenting of your sins and confessing His name and being buried with Christ in baptism. There probably is at least one person who needs to go deeper by turning your life around as a child of God, coming back to the Lord, giving yourself to Him in repentance and prayer, seeking God's blessings. The song that we're about to sing is a great song. But all of us need to feel the tug, the urge of going deeper into Christ. But there may be someone who needs to go deeper with a personal response. And if so, please come as we stand and as we sing.